I have this this interesting. Well, I've had this interesting experience a number of times with a pretty large number of climbers, and these would be the the self appointed hardcore climbers, if you will. It seems like there's this attitude out there that going indoors, training, and there's lots of contradictions within this, but it seems like there's this group of climbers out there that really, in terms of how good they are, they're pretty medium to average, not really that good in terms of skills or fitness or strength, but they religiously pursue outdoor climbing and almost attach a stigma to being an indoor climber or, you know, quote, a gym rat, and make it sound like it's a negative thing to be, you know, like being in a gym or going to a climbing wall isn't really climbing, and all you're doing is hanging out with a bunch of, like, you know, beginners and families and kids, and that sucks, mm-hmm. and there's no way that the real climbers would ever do that. And, you know, I find that really untrue, at, you know, in my experience with my gym. You know, I've got a lot of the pro climbers that come here that you guys as listeners out there probably read about in the mags or hear about on some of our news breaks and podcasting here, that, you know, Tommy Caldwell, Beth Rodden, Chris Linder, Ethan Pringle, you know, all these guys, as they've been out in this area to send these hard routes that you hear about them sending eventually, more times than not, at any given day, they'll climb all day long out at Smith, and then they'll come to the gym and put in another 2 or 3 hours here, training too on parts of their climbing that they didn't really put a load on. Like if they went out and basically were dogging the route all day, and in a sense just doing short boulder problems, well, they'll come in the gym and do endurance training, you know, before they go for a rest day. And so that stigma that you're, you know, you're more core if you're an outdoor climber and that's how you're going to get good, I think is it's important to go outdoors for sure. And I hear your point, but I think there is a group of people out there that are taking that totally to the extreme, and they're missing the point that you can, at some point in this, your career of climbing and trying to become a better climber, it helps to analyze your climbing and apply an appropriate amount of indoor off-season training or during season training to actually accelerate your curve, your learning curve, and your fitness.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's actually several important distinctions to be made from what you said. First of all, as far as people doing different things, I mean, you know, climbing means a lot of different things to different people, and to some people it's just about that outdoor experience, and that's great. You know, if being indoors and touching plastic is not their thing, then that's great. You know, so climbing is, it means something a little different to everybody. But in terms of performance, I think any climber who is not utilizing the resource that is available through indoor training is missing the boat. They are not going to realize their potential, because, you know, as important as climbing outdoors is to growing your skill set and growing as a climber, there are certain things that climbing outdoors doesn't do. You know, climbing outdoors, by nature, you get on a route, the movement tends to be relatively random. The handholds vary in shape and size constantly. And therefore, as in terms of training, it's not the best way to train, say, a particular grip strength, whether it be pocket strength or pinch strength or crimp strength or lock-off ability, because you only lock off every maybe fifth move on a route, or maybe not even that often. So you don't get good at something if you're doing it once every five moves. So that's where indoor climbing shines, is that you can build problems. I mean, that's what I do on my home wall. What I encourage people to do is utilize plastic to build theme problems. You might design a route that is just lock-offs, you know, where you lock off on one hold to the next, to the next, to the next. You do 6 or 8 lock-offs in a row. That's how you train lock-off strength. And once you can do that, you add a 10-pound weight belt while you do that same lock-off problem. And, you know, you build even better lock-off strength. You just can't, outdoor rock doesn't allow you to train that specifically and that systematically. And really, if you're going to treat yourself as an athlete and try to further yourself as an athlete, you have to treat your training in that way. And that means, in addition to climbing outdoors, using that indoor resource for a training benefit. So yeah, those guys climb outside for a day or an afternoon and then come inside and finish themselves off by working something specific. You know, you might build a theme problem that is just two-finger pockets, where you're doing 10 two-finger pocket moves in a row. That's how you get better at two-finger pockets. It's not by grabbing the odd two-finger pocket every 10th move on a round, you know? And
or dogging that section.
Yeah, or dogging. So that's why climbing outside, if you do it a lot, you build endurance, you know, which is important. You build that local endurance in your forearms, right? And you build that stamina to climb long days. But you don't build that maximum strength and power. So for people that climb outdoors a lot, I tell them what you need to do in terms of training is things relating more to maximum strength and power, things that you can design indoor bouldering to do, or types of indoor training, whether it be hypergravity training or campus training and things like that. For people who boulder outdoors, who, you know, bouldering by nature, it tends to be more powerful and maximum strength oriented, I tell them, hey, you ought to be training in a way that, or if maybe we could use the term cross-training, in a way that trains that local endurance, that anaerobic endurance of the forearms, by going indoors and doing laps on a plastic route that's overhung, where they're climbing for 4 or 5 minutes steadily, which is not something they would ever do as a boulderer. You know, so it's not something they're training very well. You know, and that's what training's all about, is working on the things that are your weaknesses. And that's where you need to be a very thoughtful climber. You know, for someone new to the sport, you probably need a coach to help you increase your awareness to these different issues. And as someone maybe who's climbed 5 or 10 years, you're probably dialed in enough that you can be a self-coach and realize what you're doing on a regular basis and realize what you're missing out on, and then figure out, okay, how can I train those things I'm missing out on?
That seems to be the key, is some sort of analysis of your current reality and compare it to your experience, what it is you want to climb, your goals, and then move on from there. And I think a lot of people struggle at that baseline level of just understanding where they're at in a lot of different areas. They just don't know. And I think, like you said, having a coach or anybody to just, like, maybe even video yourself and watch yourself climb so you can see right. That I think the mind's eye does not accurately always, especially if you're in a sense, a newbie athlete or doing a new sport, your mind does not connect exactly or interpret exactly what your body positioning is doing at all times. Even though you think you're doing a drop knee and have your knee turned in a certain way, you probably aren't really doing it that way. And if you watch it on video, chances are you'll discover that there's a lot of inaccuracies in the thought of what you think you're doing.
Yeah. No, that's correct. I mean, as climbers, our perceptions are really, when you're, you know, on the route, they're really dulled as to just precisely what you're doing. And that's where that video comes in, you know, actually seeing yourself, disassociating yourself from the climb and seeing yourself move and realizing, hey, despite the fact I think my footwork is brilliant, you know.
I was paddling right
it's
there.
Really, you know, I'm sketching on these moves, you know. And despite the fact I think I'm doing a good job resting in certain positions, it sure doesn't look like what I'm doing is a rest at that spot, you know. And, you know, so yeah, there's a lot to be gained from those types of things. You know, video is a way, you know, a very useful tool in coaching yourself and seeing those things. And, you know, obviously climbers at the crags and climbers at the gyms can help you out a lot with that too. You know, shout up encouraging things, you know, relax or focus on your feet. I mean, those are all great things, you know, in the spare of the moment. But, you know, a lot of times the things that are being sprayed to you aren't accurate either, or the best conclusions either. Right. You know, there's a lot of experts around the climbing gyms, you know, around the crags. Right. But
data from people that have never actually done the move. Right. They just saw somebody do it.
Yeah, or really bad training advice too, right. You know, because there's just, you know, again, training for climbing is a pretty complex thing. And, you know, so I tell people to listen to all the information, but don't take it all as being valid. You know, you have to kind of develop this judgment of, okay, is what person X or Y is telling me, is that really true, or is it just spray, you know, something they're passing on that they heard somebody else say? And, you know, there's a lot of injured climbers out there as a result of following some bad advice. And,